Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, along with Shad Marquit. We are your hosts for this weekend edition. Also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. Now, we're going to jump around to a number of different sectors, recap some of the key news from this week. But to kick off the show, we are chatting with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. And Doc, because a lot of our listeners want to hear your thoughts on the precious metals, let's start there. As we made the turn into the new year, you were saying we need to look to January. That will tell the tale for metals, for markets. Overall, January was pretty good. For gold, it was a continuation of an uptrend that started in November, 3 months in a row that gold moved higher and pretty much took back all of those losses over the prior 7 month move down through the middle of last year. Gold opened January at about 1831. Closed at 1945. So a strong move for gold. Even some of the gold stocks did fairly well. Doc, let's start off with gold. January was good for gold. Should we expect good times ahead for gold?
Yeah, for January, actually, from looking at the long-term charts, gold is, for the bulls, in a good position right now. And I say that mainly because if you look at the MAC, the 12-month, is finally intersecting the 26th month again. We did that back and very similarly in the first quarter 2022, but then gold started moving down again. So gold is at a crossroads now, and it's going to have to make a decision here in the rest of February and in March whether it continues to move fairly sideways to either up or if it breaks down below the 26th month, then we're probably going to start to move down again, but we'll know February and March will be a real tail for it. But gold does not look bad right here. The only thing that bothers me about this move up for gold and for GDX in some of these stocks, if you look at the volumes, they were nothing impressive. And if you look at past moves that are significant, you usually, when the move begins, start to have some very significant volumes in the metals and in the stocks. So we're going to have to see a pickup when we, if we move, start moving up again, we're going to have to see a pickup in volume to really make this move significant. That's what people are going to have to look for. But right now, we're at an inflection point. Now, the possibility is that if we do not continue to move gently up, that we're probably starting the beginning of a right shoulder in a massive inverse head and shoulders process on the monthly chart, which wouldn't be all too bad if we went down again and challenged the recent lows, because that would form a nice right shoulder, and then we could start the real move up for gold in the future. Now, I do think that we have a chance here of moving back up this month a little bit, and I think that's a very good possibility. But then March, which often is a good month for the precious metals historically, that's going to be the month that we need to have a higher closing high to show us that we're going to continue this move higher into potentially a bull market.
Well, Doc, at least it sounds somewhat constructive, but it's in a range and you're waiting to see what happens in the next couple months. But I had asked you in October, and I think in November and December when we talked, if you felt like the low that we saw when gold broke that 1675 support and got down to 1620, did a triple test down there and then bounced up, if that could have been the low. And you had mentioned that January would tell you the tale, and we had a positive close to January. So I don't think I'm alone in wondering, did you see enough constructive action from what we saw from the bounce from 1618 all the way up to 1975 to suggest that at least that was the low in November when gold got down there? Or do you still think there's a chance that we could break down and make a new lower low?
The chance of breaking down and making a new lower low is not that great. In fact, if we do move down, I think, as I mentioned, that we move down, but we don't take that out. But what we do is establish a little higher low than that low to form that right shoulder for a head and inverse head and shoulders. Now, the other thing on the monthly chart is when we hit that high in January, we got up to the upper Bollinger band and it stopped there. And we bounced right off of it. In February, we hit it again, and we bounced down off of this. And I think this month is going to be a down month, whether we even close higher than where we are, because we need a down month. But then March, which is a good month often for the precious metals, that's the month that if we're going to start to move higher, it's going to happen in March, and that'll be very encouraging.
Okay, so maybe a little digestion of the strong three-month move that we got in gold. But, Doc, what about something like GDX? GDX also had a nice run for the last 3 months. GDX even bottomed a little before gold did, but it didn't quite get to those 2020 highs or the 2022 highs. It was about 28% from its peak off of those highs. What's your takeaway from GDX still doing well? It went up 50% from the bottom in about 4 to 5 months, but it didn't quite get as high when you look at recent highs as gold did.
Yeah, it was a lower high again on the monthly chart, which isn't encouraging. And once again, the volume, if you look at past history when GDX really gets cranking, volume was pathetic. And that's cause for concern. I don't like to see weak moves like this, where you get a move of 5 months higher on GDX, of higher closing highs, and then the volume up is very impressive. That's the thing that bothers me about what happened in this last move. I wish we had seen much better volume on this, and we didn't. Although I think that if we could move a little bit higher again, but then the odds are that we start to actually build a base here. I really feel this year is going to be base building. And remember, I've been saying for months, don't expect a V. Well, don't expect a V. This is going to be a gradual type of basing that we're going to do, which is, frankly, going to be much healthier for the future anyway. I much prefer that because you can take good positions and get ready for the real move. And already I'm seeing some of these stocks coming off and breaking down, and that is not a positive either. So, but I do think we could move back up here a little bit this month yet. And then March, if we move higher on a closing high, we're going to break that Bollinger band to the upside, the upper one, and that's going to be very encouraging.
All right, Doc, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but we are having you back on next segment. Overall, you do sound more encouraged, a little bit more bullish for the precious metals sector. It is concerning, though, to see the stocks, at least on those longer-term charts, go back to a 15-year chart of GDX, and it does not look overly bullish. It doesn't look horrible, but it's also not nearly as exciting or not nearly as close to breaking out as gold is. So in the next couple segments, though, we will shift our focus a little bit more to silver and a little bit more to the U.S. markets. A lot of these markets are trading hand in hand, and I think a lot of attention still needs to be given to these U.S. markets even after this recent few months bounce. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Richard Postma.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to chat with Richard Bosma, a.k.a. Doc. Now, Doc, we spent a lot of time on the gold sector and the gold stocks. Let's talk about silver. Silver went on a bit of a run, even bottomed before gold and the gold stocks did last year. And it made its way up to that $24 region, but then got hit. Just like gold did, dropped right down to that 22 and change. Unfortunately, just couldn't seem to break above 24, which is, again, well off. off of its highs from, well, 10, 50, 12 years ago, and even from a couple of years ago. What's your outlook for silver, Doc? What levels are you watching?
Yeah, silver, when I look at the long-term chart, the thing that I don't like right now is the ADX pattern, because the bullishness of it is coming off, and I think we're going to have the bearish portion of the ADX, which is a strength indicator. I think it's going to meet the bullish, and that means that silver, I don't think, is going to have any significant move higher here for a little while. And I frankly think that in silver, we could get back down to the 20 area. You know, I think that could happen in the next couple of months, which is fine with me, because I would add some of my junior miners in, which I haven't sold. On this last run-up, I sold the miners that were mid-tier and high cap. I took profits, but I didn't sell off many of my juniors because I have such a low-cost basis in those, and I'll just keep adding to those every time we come back down.
Sounds a lot like what Dave Airflay was saying, where if you did manage to get into the stocks a number of months ago around the bottom, it doesn't sound like you guys, both of you, think that we'll be testing those lower levels. So that does sound generally more bullish for the sector. Yes, not a straight-up move, but more bullish that it sounds like you think the lows are, for the most part, in. How do you correlate that over to the U.S. markets then? Because U.S. markets, well, they did have a good January. They still haven't even come close to some of their highs. They went down all last year except for the fourth quarter when they started bouncing along with the precious metals. But it seems like precious metals outperformed a little bit. How do you balance the two?
Yeah, and before we get into that, I'd just like to mention that the odds are right now looking pretty good for silver as far as the lows being in. I just want to add that. Right now the charts are looking pretty good for that, by the way. But going to the conventional markets, way back in November of 2021 is when I decided to go into pretty much all cash. And because I felt 2022 was not going to be a good year. And when January started for 2022, January was emblematic of what the year was going to be like. And there's that old saying, as the first week in January goes, so goes the month, and then so goes the year. And it's very interesting that this year we had a bump up in the conventional markets in January. They didn't close as high as the market was in November, so I didn't think it was an auspicious bump. But I think what it's telling us right now is that the general market, or the risk market, risk assets are not at risk for a while. And that's hard to really believe, since we're starting to see these large layoffs, and you're going to see the valuation is extremely high of these markets yet, and you're starting to see earnings move down. And the companies are even talking about in their guidance that looking forward, they're concerned about their revenues and their cash flow and their earnings. So, but for some reason, these markets are levitating, and I think they will for a period of time from just looking at the long-term charts. Now, what's interesting about the long-term charts, particularly to me, and we mentioned it off mic, is that if you look at the monthly MACD for the conventional markets, we have not seen the MACD, the 12-month, hit neutral or zero since 2010. That's 13 years. And I believe, based on what we're seeing right now, all we've seen is a cyclical bear. We haven't really, and we haven't proven yet a secular bear. And it doesn't look like we're going to do it anytime soon yet, because these markets still look fairly healthy. They've rebounded somewhat. But we have not had significant monthly closes below the 50-month moving averages. We had it happen in 2020 for 1 month. We had it happen in 2022 for a month, and then it popped out of it. But for me to accept that we're in a secular bear market, we're going to have to see significant movement below the 50-month moving averages. And so we're theoretically, as far as I'm concerned, still in a long-term secular bull market, although I think that's going to come to an end. But because the law of averages says we're going to have to eventually break that 50-month, and I think we're getting closer to that as time moves on.
Well, Doc, that puts us in a weird spot then, because as you mentioned, P.E. ratios are still very elevated. They're in the 20s or 30s for some companies. And if the E is coming down the earnings, one would expect the P to come down the prices. And if we're not even at neutral on these longer-term charts, then we really haven't seen a major correction yet, even though 2022 was a corrective year. And you could say it's a bear market, maybe a cyclical bear market. To your point, if we're not in a secular bear market, let me ask you this. Could the opposite of what people have been forecasting happen? Could we actually see the Fed and other central banks pause their tightening and see a sugar rush rally in the markets where some of the indexes do rip to new highs? Is that possible later this year?
Possible, but this is what bothers me, is the Fed has a lot of cover to continue to raise rates. And even though they're doing it at 25 basis points, they may do this a lot longer than people think. Because as long as some of these figures, especially in employment, which, of course, we saw that great employment figure, which, but if you look under the hood, it's not as good as people think. If you see that kind of figure, and then you look at the ISM and the PMI, which the PMI for non-manufacturing jumped more than they expected, as long as you're seeing those kind of data points, I think the Fed will just continue to raise rates. And it has to get to the point. And I think really the Fed is more concerned, not like Greenspan was in the 90s, where he was looking at the stock market as his put and the thing to protect. I think Powell is not going to be looking at that as much. I think he's going to actually be more concerned about the bond market. And that's where his put's going to be eventually. Because we're going to get rates to a point where there's got to be, it's going to create some liquidity issues and some real problems for the economy. But this guy will keep raising rates as long as the data points look pretty good. So I think he'll keep doing it and until something breaks significantly.
Okay. Thank you for sharing some of your insights again on these monthly longer term charts. We'll chat with you again at the beginning of next month in March. Hope you have a great rest of your month, Doc.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Super Bowl Sunday tomorrow with the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes is ready and loves the fan support from around the world. an unidentified object shot down 10 miles off the frozen coast of Alaska. The object, which officials have not characterized as a balloon, was described as being the size of a small car. It's unclear what the object looks like or where it came from. Meanwhile, the U.S. Commerce Department is restricting six Chinese companies that have ties to the Chinese Army's aerospace programs. They are not allowed to obtain U.S. technology without government authorization. South Dakota set to prohibit nearly all forms of gender-affirming treatment for transgender minors after a proposal gained sweeping approval through the state legislature. Corey Myers, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. We are continuing on with the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Richard Postma, diving into mostly the precious metals, but then we also did touch on some of the market moves. In these final two segments, we are touching base again with Peter Buchvar, Chief Investment Officer at Bleakley Financial Group, also editor of the Book Report website. I'll post a link to Peter's website, and that's where Peter recaps on a daily basis the key data points that have come out, any important moves in a wide range of sectors for markets, and also any key news that he wants to recap, all with kind of a big picture outlook for markets and for the economy. Peter, I want to start kind of in the big picture sense here. Look, we've just had a just over four month rally in almost every asset class. Data, at least financial or economic data, continues to be generally weak, but it's not exactly in crashing territory either. We keep seeing a bit of mixed data still on the generally downside, and we're through a lot of earnings season, and earnings season again has been generally weak with weak forward guidance. Peter, your big picture outlook for the economy and markets then, please.
Well, the two biggest things that hurt markets in 2022 were, of course, the sharp rise in inflation and the very aggressive Fed and other central banks. So now inflation is rolling over and the Fed's likely almost done raising interest rates, even though maybe they'll throw in one or two left. You know, that was all the markets needed to see a rebound because they thought, okay, well, The two things that were giving me a sore back are sort of relieving themselves. And that explains this. But I think we got a reminder that even if the Fed's almost done raising, they're still going to be raising, particularly after the very strong January jobs report. We've gotten a lot of tough talk from ECB members that say we're going to keep on going, 50 more in March, maybe 50 in May. We're doing QT, even though it's modest. Reserve Bank of Australia said they may keep on going. So after a steady decline in interest rates that helped to charge up the stock market, interest rates now are reversing higher. And like, voila, the stock market is slowing down and beginning to sell off. So I think that there's still this very tight interconnection between the market's idea of which way the Fed is going and whether they want to buy or sell stocks. Meanwhile, in the background, getting to the economic part of this, the economy is, I think, basically contracting. You look at housing, we know we're in a recession. Manufacturing is essentially in a recession. Real personal spending in the U.S. declined in November, December. And for sure, earnings trajectory is going down. So you can argue that Q4 was the beginning of an earnings recession. Now, that is sort of getting less coverage in terms of the market's behavior because it's all focused on success with the Fed, but that's also going on here. And even let's just say the Fed is done raising interest rates today, I think people still have to get accustomed to the level of rates that are going to stay high for a while. And that the belief that, okay, after raising, economy slows, the Fed just going to cut right back down again. Maybe they do cut, but we're not going from 5% to 1 or 5% to 0. Maybe we go from 5% to 4. So it's this higher for longer interest rate environment, I think, that people have to get used to. And that in itself is its own form of constant tightening because of many, many years of very low rates. And all of a sudden you get high rates within a year, and any debt that's coming due that needs to be repaid, that needs to get refinanced, is going to be done at a much higher rate than the rate on the loan that's maturing.
Well, Peter, when you put these pieces together like that, you know, we do see so much weakness, as you mentioned, in the housing market and manufacturing with the consumer. But we've also seen that stronger-than-expected jobs report and the better-than-expected manufacturing report, which was not a stellar report. It just was better than expected. And so there's a lot of narratives running in financial media about a soft landing and that maybe the Fed has threaded the needle. And your point about rates staying longer for higher is the same point the Fed has made. They don't actually know the effects of what is going to happen because it's a lagging factor, sometimes 6 months to 12 months lagging factor. So are we out of the woods yet? Is it going to be a soft landing? Or do you think that we haven't really seen the pain of these higher rates for longer yet?
Well, it's more than just whether it's going to be a soft or hard landing, because you also have to extrapolate it one step further is, okay, if it's a soft landing, well, what kind of recovery is going to follow a soft landing? Maybe it's just going to be a soft recovery. So is that good? Is it good that there's a soft landing but a soft recovery, or is it better if you get a sharp recession but then a very sharp snapback? So people are very simplistic in this debate. You know, Japan had a soft landing after their bubble burst, but you know, it ended up leading to a, you know, multi-decade malaise in economic activity. I'm not saying that that's happening in the U.S. I'm just saying that it's not necessarily good that's a soft landing and bad if it's a harder one. I think either way, you know, economic growth has slowed dramatically. 2022 in the U.S., we saw real growth of 1%. Now, granted, that was off a sharp snapback in 2021 after the 2020 weakness, but you know, that wasn't much growth. And I'll argue that we'll get negative growth or decline in growth in 2023. Now, let's just say it's only down 1% GDP for all of 2023. And when all said and done, is that a mild recession? Yeah, I guess so. But it's still not very good. It's still going to lead what I think is going to be a more pronounced recession in earnings. And if we go from a minus 1% economy to maybe in 2024, going back to maybe plus 1%, well, is that good? Is that any good either? Because we only had a soft landing. So I think it's you got to dig deeper into this debate. I think also it's too early to say what kind of landing we're going to have anyway, because the direction of the capital markets, the direction of the stock market will also determine the extent of the recession. Let's just say right now we're having, you know, a modest contraction. All of a sudden, as the year progresses, the S&P 500 goes to 3,000, let's just say. Well, just that market action would lead to a pronounced decline in retail spending at the higher end, and that can then turn a soft landing into a hard one. So calls that people are making, I'm even hearing people say there's no landing. So we're going to have the most aggressive monetary tightening in 40 years, and we're going to have no landing. I mean, to me, that's just total nonsense. But, you know, that's where we've devolved into, because everyone's looking at the labor market to think, well, the labor market's strong. How can we have a recession, without understanding the history since World War II, that recessions usually begin at very low levels of the unemployment rate?
Now, Peter, weren't we stuck in kind of a slow growth environment from 2010 through to pretty much 2020, right before COVID? I just remember everybody complaining that growth is slow, capital spending is slow for businesses, but the market still did well, given we were in the environment where we just saw lower and lower interest rates.
Right. So we had the slowest post-recession recovery since World War II in that decade. But you had zero rates and a lot of QE that helped to lift stock markets around the world, and, well, mostly in the U.S., actually, and that separated the stock market from the underlying economy. And then the help of lower interest expense, a corporate tax cut, and modest labor costs, and, you know, voila, you have a sharp widening of profit margins.
Yeah, it's a different environment now, isn't it, Peter? We might still have a slow economy, but now we have higher rates. And it seems like we need to get used to these higher rates. They're going to be around for a while. Peter, we're going to have you back on next segment to wrap up the show. We will focus a little bit more on different sectors within the market, where you see leadership, and where you see some of the sectors that are most at risk. So everyone, stick around. We are going to be right back with Peter Buchbar.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
All right, we're back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are continuing to chat with Peter Buchbar. Now, as promised, Peter, let's focus a little bit more on these markets. A more general conversation being that the markets, a wide range of sectors, have simply traded alongside each other. When markets correct and the dollar goes up, everything goes down. When the markets are doing better and the dollar goes down, everything seems to move up together. Do you see this correlation changing at all?
Well, we're here for now. I think at some point the dollar, you know, could start to really trade off the rising U.S. debts and deficits, the record trade deficit, the record budget deficit in dollar terms, and a very high one relative to GDP of right now 5% going into a recession, and that the dollar at some point can weaken and maybe stocks and bonds weaken too at the same time. You know, that's a potential scenario that no one seems to think is possible. Everyone just assumes the dollar goes down, that eases financial conditions, and everything's fine for the economy and the stock market. But what happens if the dollar weakens because money's actually leaving the country for more opportunistic things elsewhere? What happens if the Bank of Japan gets out of yield curve control or widens it a lot, and all of a sudden Japanese bonds and assets become attractive and the yen rallies against the dollar because of that? You know, what happens if the European economy really rebounds because China's reopening? Well, maybe that can lend a bid to the euro. So it's not going to be as easy as we've seen in terms of the relationships over the past couple of years. It might, but I just think that we should sort of imagine other possibilities as well.
Well, Peter, another thing that the dollar and rates affect is some of the things that are near and dear to our hearts on the show, the precious metals and the commodity sector. Generally, higher rates and a higher dollar are a headwind to commodities and to precious metals. Generally, falling rates and falling dollar are a boon and a tailwind. Do you think that that will break down a little bit too? Because they don't always have to be inversely related. It could be that, especially in the precious metal side, it could be that gold and the dollar trend up or down together. What's your outlook there as far as how the precious metals relate to the interest rates and the dollar?
Well, it is interesting. In 2022, you had this ferocious rally in the dollar and a vertical rise in interest rates, and gold was almost flat. To me, that was a pretty stellar relative performance. But you're right, over a longer period of time, certainly gold is going to trade off real rates in the direction of the dollar. I think, to my point on interest rates, I think the Fed is almost done raising rates, and that is why the dollar has definitely topped out, notwithstanding, you know, the recent bounce that we've seen, and that should lend some support
to gold. I think if the U.S. economy continues to weaken, which I think it will, then people are going to start to think about, okay, well, maybe by the end of the year, Fed's going to be cutting rates. Well, that's going to be dollar negative as well. And inflation, while it's definitely going to go lower from here, and maybe we'll get a two handle at some point in the third or fourth quarter, I don't think it's going to stay there. And it tells me that you're still going to have real rates that are going to be no better than zero. And gold should benefit in that kind of environment.
So carry that down to the gold stocks then, Peter. We've seen another combination of majors, or a major swallowing up another major. It looks like it's going down that road. But even as gold did pretty well last year, the stocks got crushed. Again, they followed the market. Do you see that correlation breaking?
I mean, I think, you know, at this point with the mining stocks is, while they're definitely going to benefit from rising prices just as they get hurt from falling, is we all know how difficult the mining business is. And, you know, you're talking about over the past couple of decades how it's been, you've been much better off owning the physical than the mining companies, just because it's just such a tough business. And, you know, there's an extraordinary level of frustration in owning mining stocks and having to deal with just all the headaches of that business, and whether it's finding enough people, whether it's finding lower grade stuff or rising oil prices making your cost structure go up. I mean, I know I'm talking, preaching to the choir here, but we know how difficult it is. Now, at some point, I do think you get a nice run in gold, and, you know, those margins, a lot of these miners are going to fatten up again. These stocks are going to have an incredible rise. It's just, look, we've had a nice rise in the gold stocks over the past 3 months, call it. And so we've had a nice run. I do think they have a lot higher to go. But, you know, there's a lot of scarring out there for people owning mining stocks relative to the physical.
Yeah, almost like a PTSD situation where people are so damaged from the last 2.5 years of corrective moves that even when we've seen a rally for 3 or 4 months, sentiment's still not that encouraging in the space. Let's carry it over into another sector that was very topical last year, still very topical this year, and that's energy, Peter. We've seen oil go from 120 last year at the high, bounce down into the low 70s. It's up around 80 now, kind of holding firm in that 75 to 80 range. But nat gas has been the one that's really caught people's attention. They don't call it a widowmaker for nothing, because it's fallen from 9, almost 10, down to 250 now. What do you make of the energy space?
Yeah, natural gas fall has been quite astonishing, considering you'd think that we'd had every reason for it to go much higher. But, of course, the weather has been incredible this winter, and at least in the U.S., and I can't speak to where you guys are, but I know certainly in the Northeast, it's been a pretty mild winter. Today it's going to be almost 60 degrees outside, and Europe has been pretty blessed with a modest winter. So I think we can definitely point to that as being the suppressant on natural gas prices. I think crude oil, and, you know, I've been pretty bullish on crude oil and the energy stocks for the last couple of years, 2.5 years now, that I still think that, and now you have the benefit to that, is the China reopening. And while the China reopening will take some time to sort of play out and people sort of getting acclimated to life again, and that I think oil prices have potential to go much higher because the supply side is still very challenged.
Do you see governments or markets even more so warming up to energy companies, these older school energy companies, rather than the focus on more the green energy that we had over the last 5-10 years?
Well, the government has no interest in you know, well, most of these governments are, you know, all ESG adherents. So I don't think that they have much interest. They have interest in lowering the price of oil and gasoline, but they don't have any interest in actually supporting the companies that produce it. From an investor standpoint, in the S&P 500, energy stocks are still only about 4%. So investors, even with the tremendous rally we've seen, maybe 5%, the tremendous rally we've seen, there's still an underappreciation, I believe, for these companies. That's why I think they probably still go much higher.
And you've brought up China a few times. Does a lot of this hinge on China getting through what undoubtedly will be kind of a shaky reopening, but then kind of moving past COVID?
Yeah, I mean, each week, each month that goes by, you know, that reopening becomes more more natural, and they'll be reopened like the rest of us. And I don't think they're going to, I'm sure there is some scarring after 3 years of lockdowns, but a lot of people there still want to make up for lost time. And they did. They lost 3 years, many people, and they want to get that back. So their reopening, I don't think, should be treated that much different than how the rest of the world reopened. And by the second quarter into the third quarter, outside of, again, their real estate situation being challenged, I think their economy is going to be in a much better situation.
Even broadening the scope out a little further, Peter, we often focus on the West. We focus on the U.S. and Canada. We focus on Europe. And we focused on a lot of developed nations. We look at China reopening. But there's been a lot more banter in the marketplace over the last few months about emerging markets and something that has been ignored and really done terrible over the last, let's say, few years. What's your outlook on emerging markets and some of the countries that maybe aren't swept up in the huge central bank process? And is there any room to run in the emerging markets?
I'm pretty bullish on them. I think the China reopening is going to positively impact a lot of these emerging economies and markets. And not just that, the China reopening is going to help the entire Asian region. It's going to help many parts of Europe where countries there do a lot of business with China. I mean, if you're Japan, if you're Singapore, if you're Indonesia, China's your biggest customer, and having China reopen is huge. Germany, for them, China's their biggest customer. That's huge for them. Now, obviously, Germany's not an emerging market, but to my point, Brazil, Argentina, if you get more people going out for dinner in China, chances are Argentina and Brazil are going to be selling a lot more food and nutrients and crops to China. So it's a beneficial impact, I believe, in a lot of emerging markets. And one of the other reasons why they have the potential for outperforming U.S. markets is, you know, we know U.S. markets for the past 10-plus years have been dominated by big cap tech. I think the days of big cap tech dominance in the U.S. is over, therefore giving other markets a chance to play catch up.
Peter, I think this is a great spot to end it. Thank you, as always, for your time. Look, it's such a different market environment that we are living in and living through right now. Everybody, thanks for tuning in on this weekend show. Peter, great having you on the show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. We'll touch base again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.